Everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateuring, episode 18. We're so glad you could join us today.
Yay, you're listening to a podcast about Magic the Gathering.
Woo!
Good
job. Whatever steps you've done in your life that have led you to this point were good decisions.
Pat yourself on the back or whatever part of the body makes you happiest.
If you don't know what Magic the Gathering is, that's kind of outside of the scope of this podcast.
But you should keep listening because, do you know what? You never know. We might just drop some conventional wisdom about life stuff.
Folksy wisdom.
Yes.
Like, if you have a headache.
This is the first time you're listening. My name is Ben. I am a relative expert in Magic the Gathering. I've been playing off and on for a long time.
Like you're an uncle or an aunt?
Yes.
Yes, I'm Uncle Ben.
Okay. I'm Maria, and I am one of your Magic amateurs, having just learned about 6 months ago, learning to play the game, learning to be obsessed with the game.
My name's Megan.
Hey, Megan, what's up?
Hey, guys. Not a lot. I am also one of the amateurs of the title. What am I saying?
You guys, we have a really great show for you today.
Titular? You're one of the titular amateurs?
You're a titmouse.
I am a titmouse amateur.
That's probably a website.
Which of you two do you think is the most titular?
I think there's no argument that Maria is...
Do you know how many times we've talked about my boobs on this show?
Enough? No.
Never enough.
Never enough.
We have a great show for you guys today. We're going to talk about Dragon's Maze. The pre-release just happened. We're all still riding that high, like a surfer in Hawaii.
Woo!
High glider.
My brain was filling in all the things that you could have said before you said that high, like riding that wave. Riding a falcon.
Wait,
I don't know.
Was one of the cards called Maze Glider?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's ride that.
We're still all riding that Maze Glider. Because do you know what? We're multicolored creatures.
That's right. I am Italian and French.
Excellent.
We see.
Yeah.
Duh, yes.
And we're going to play some live interviews we did at the pre-release with some players. That's going to be pretty exciting. And also talk about mana fixing, because that was a big deal during the pre-release and will continue to be a big deal if you play from this block. And so we're going to talk about how to do that successfully, as well as we're going to bring back Euphemism of the Week, which we haven't done in forever.
That's true. You guys, sometimes our brains are surprisingly... not engaged in just writing euphemisms all day.
Sometimes.
Sometimes you gotta take a break and figure out how to untrap yourself from a bear trap.
Oh, yep. God, tell me about it.
Yep.
My leg is still pretty sore.
And if you left us an iTunes review, don't worry, we're gonna give you a shout out at the end of the show, so stick around for that.
Pre-release party. Pre-release party, pre-release party,
pre-release.
That was really great, you guys.
Yep.
So Dragon's Maze had its pre-release this past weekend. If you're in the audience and you went, raise your hand.
Woo! Woo!
So, how was it? Mm-hmm. What'd you do? What'd you draft? I mean, what'd you build?
What did you build? What did I build? Who are you asking with your eyes?
That was rhetorical for the audience.
I was wondering.
Now I'm going to ask you guys, what did you think of it? How did you like playing in that crazy sealed environment?
Whew. It felt weird, I think because of the guild packs.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was a lot of fun.
It's like if you had been sleeping with 5 people... Mm-hmm. And then you dumped them and you started sleeping with a new 5 people. But then all of a sudden everyone was just like...
But 2 of them were siblings.
Yes. Each time 2 of them were siblings.
No, 2 of them were siblings of the people you had been sleeping with.
Oh, yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
So small town with a lot of brothers and sisters and a lot of ass.
Yeah, and now everyone's like, well, you can just sleep with all of us. So now you're busy sleeping with 10 people.
Right, and now your biggest problem is just finding the time.
Yeah.
It really is.
And do you have enough kind of varieties of condoms?
And honestly, remembering everybody's names.
Oh.
Because 10 people, right?
And when you sleep with like a combination of three of them, remembering that name, because I never knew that name.
Yeah, you're totally right.
What I'm trying to say is I don't know the names for the three color combinations.
I got it.
Thank you.
Sure.
So anyways, I thought it was really exciting. I was really happy to see some Celestia and Azorius and even Rakdos again.
Me too.
I was like, do you know what? I missed these guys.
I played in the Two-Headed Giant. I played some Two-Headed Giant games, and those games were all ridiculous.
I can imagine.
Define ridiculous.
Okay, first of all,
I'm going to open a dictionary.
First of all, did you know the extort ability says that you can pay a white or a black to, and each opponent loses one life and you gain that much life?
Oh,
no
snap!
So in Two-Headed Giant, all extort is doubled.
Yep. That's pretty crazy.
It's absurd. Like every game where there was extort on the table, like it was not possible to do anything else or win any other way. Because there's so many creatures out, people have extort, and like every time they cast a spell, they can just super drain you.
Yeah.
Super drain.
Yeah.
Also, a brand of Drano.
Yep. Oh, another thing that I saw today when I was browsing cards, I didn't see anyone play it this weekend, but there's a card that can give all of your creatures extort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did not see that card either.
Yeah, play that with some Cryptghast action.
Uh-huh. Mm. Everybody's fucked.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great change of pace. It literally slowed things down a little, so it was a change of pace. But also, there's a lot of new, really fun cards to play with, you know?
I did 20 points of damage with the Master of Cruelty.
Yay!
I'm not gonna lie.
Woo!
Yep.
I love that guy.
That's pretty amazing.
And, you know, I blocked a creature, and he was expecting to trade, and nope, it has Death Touch and First Strike, so...
That's pretty amazing.
It's pretty hard to trade with that.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I played Rakdos in my first sealed event and was quite happy with it. I opened some good cards though, but it was great to like be with that old friend Rakdos again, who was the guild I played with my very first draft ever.
Mm. Rakdos does a lot of things that you like.
It does. It does almost everything that I like. But, you know, a lot of people, I was worried because they said going in, the format's going to slow down. It's going to be not great to be an aggressive deck. Well, I found that you kind of had an advantage in a sort of way playing an aggressive deck.
So I think, well, those people are wrong.
Some of them were some pro players.
It's always great to be an aggressive deck.
Amen.
The only question is whether or not you can actually make an aggressive deck.
Okay.
Because if you don't have a critical mass of aggressive stuff, then you're just going to peter out and die. But yeah, if you've got it, then you get to punish everyone else.
For being slow.
And you get to blank a lot of their best cards because they just never get a chance.
Did you happen to see my hypothesis of some guilds realizing their full potential and getting better?
No. Did you write that on the chalkboard?
Yeah.
We have to fire that janitor.
Was it an equation?
Yeah, it was. It was an equation of words. And my words were that I was wondering if some of the guilds would get awesome thanks to Dragon's Maze, or they would at least round themselves out and be a lot better than they used to be.
Mm.
I know we're fairly new here, but do we think that happened?
Well,
you guys talk at the same time.
Yeah.
I heard some people say Demir got a major boost.
Well, I mean,
maybe it's too early.
In the sense that now when you play Demir, you get to play two other guilds. Yeah, I would say they did get a boost.
All right.
what I first impression, to be sure. But I felt like now I lost the end of this sentence.
Well, hold for you.
Where was it?
I didn't think. I mean, I felt like the worst guilds were Izzet and Dimir, and I
still.
Well, they were the worst guilds previously, and I didn't think they really got that much better. I think what changed is now it doesn't necessarily matter that they're the worst guilds because you only need a few cards from those anyway. Hold on, guys. I need to throw it.
Ben is taking a cool sip of LaCroix, who does not sponsor this program.
But I thought Celestia, I mean, it seemed like Celestia was really good, and they were already really good, so what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought Rakdos was really good, and they were already really good, so
yeah.
What the heck?
I also noticed. Gruul?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
go
God,
for it.
God damn.
What about him? That one blood
kind
rush.
Kind of insane.
That cat that gives +3/+3 for one.
No. They've got this enchantment, Gruul War Chant.
Oh, guess who had that in her Rakdos deck? Splashed this guy.
It's like putting madcap skills on everything.
Yep.
I did play it.
Pretty nut bones.
In a couple games.
And you were pointing out that's not even a rare, that's an uncommon.
Yeah, that's an uncommon.
Sure enough.
That's pretty insane.
And Boros also has an uncommon that like gives everything a +1/+1 counter when it attacks.
Which is pretty nuts as well. Also just an uncommon. Not a rare.
So games are going to get more nuts, I guess, is the consensus. Which I think is fun because you know what? In Gate Crash, I think we were all used to it. It was fast, it was quick, it was straightforward. So maybe it's about time to let things get a little crazy and take your shirt off.
Yep.
For money.
Oh, of course. I also thought that, this is going to maybe sound ridiculous, but Boros got like more itself. Does that make sense?
It went through puberty.
What Boros was before, it just became more that thing. Whereas I felt the other guilds kind of sometimes expanded in interesting ways. Boros, it's just like, you're doing more of what you were doing.
Yeah, it's like when you go to your high school reunion and like some people are really different and then other people, it's like you are more the same than you were.
Exactly.
The last time I saw you.
That is who Boros is. Now,
quick poll. Who here went to their high school reunion?
I did not.
I did not.
Who here hasn't had one yet?
You're a baby!
Sorry, guys.
Are you going to go?
Yeah. Are you looking forward to your 5-year high school reunion?
You guys, let's see if my high school can get their shit together.
Oh, is it that kind of high school?
Have a reunion. It was really that kind of high school.
Was your high school built out of poor people?
Was your high school your house and it was your mom?
The first one and not so much the second.
Okay.
Mm.
Yikes.
Yep. Well, like I said, we'll see. I'm optimistic. You never know. Mm. You never know.
So you would go?
I think I would.
I was just like, wow, I have no incentive whatsoever to see these people again.
I was going to go just because, and then it was like $40 to go.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and the reason it was $40 is because they had to like provide a shuttle service to the hotel. And I'm like,
Not
I think
using
everyone
that.
Might be getting really drunk at this.
Not your scene.
Yeah.
So Boros is the guy who is like, he was like a total jock. And now he still is.
Yeah.
And it depends on the deck. Maybe he went pro, and maybe he now, like, he's you know, like an NFL linebacker. I'm talking about things that I don't know. I don't know what a linebacker does, guys.
Backs lines.
Exactly. Or sometimes he's still the jock, but, you know, he works in an office and he wears a suit and a tie.
You know how the players line up?
No.
You know how the football players line up?
How do they line up?
They're in lines?
Yes. I thought that it might be the setup to a joke.
It was not a trick question.
Okay. No, yes, I know how the football
Here,
players line
let me,
up.
Let's have that janitor write it on the chalkboard.
Okay.
And then there's people in front.
Uh-huh.
And then there's people just behind them, and they're like, they're backing them up.
Okay, that's a linebacker. Oh, shit. I got it.
Sounds sexy.
Hey, you guys, that
I
janitor.
I only know because I Google linebacker because the NFL draft was this weekend.
Nice. Well done. Well done.
I think the Vikings took like two linebackers.
Sure. I think Hey, does that janitor look at all like Matt Damon?
Kind of.
He seems like he's really good at this math on chalkboard stuff.
He thinks he looks like Matt Damon. He acts like he does.
Okay. Okay.
All right, let's take a listen to some of the interviews we did during the pre-release event. We went to one on Saturday and one on Sunday, so we're going to do a little compilation of interviews, people we talked to.
All right, tune in my ears.
Turn your ears up. Megan, we're live at another pre-release.
Oh my goodness. Thank God it's not midnight.
It's not midnight time. It's not midnight time this time. But obviously my brain is still fried. Hey, look, it's Ben's brother.
Hey, Ben's brother.
Have a seat.
Same.
Hey, so did you play last night, Ben's brother?
I did play last night.
Tell me everything.
I put together a... Well, I chose Is It? And got paired with Boros. So that's a pretty decent pairing. Pulled some pretty decent cards. My rares were like the Pyrite Shaman, which is the 1/3 with Blood Rush you can get back. I got Dragon Shift.
Dragon Shift!
That's that one that turns all of... You can overload it and turn all of your creatures into 4/4.
Did you Dragon Shift?
Yes, I did Dragon Shift. There was one game where I had 5 creatures and enough mana to Dragon Shift and Teleportal.
Sweet. How'd your games go?
Well, I won that game.
I hope so.
I didn't lose to a Mono Boros.
A Mono Boros? What's happening?
Yeah, he had the Boros champion and a Gleam of Battle. It turns out is pretty good. That's the one that gives everything +1/+1 when it attacks.
Sweet.
That Boros champion is also pretty sweet.
What is it? Tajik?
Magic? I don't know. I don't remember what the rest of his title is.
The Blade of the Legion.
Yeah, it sounds about right. But he's a 2/2 indestructible that gets +5/+5 when it battalions.
Ouch. Ouch.
For a lot.
Did you have any feeling overall of what, how these new cards are working with these guilds? Like, any of them getting better? Like, people are saying, hey, maybe Dimir's not a piece of shit anymore.
Well, I think Dimir is better. It's not going to be a lot better in the pre-release, just because the guild pack is still not great. I think Izzet got a big improvement.
Did you have Goblin Test Pilot?
I did not have Goblin Test Pilot. If I did, I would have slammed it. No matter how bad it actually is in my deck.
Sweat, nice. I like your spirit.
Let's deal 2 damage to who knows?
Who knows what it could be?
I don't know.
Maybe to your dad. Maybe to your neighbor. Maybe to your dog.
Maybe to the local shopkeeper.
Let's give a little more exposition here, Megan. We are at our... We're not in Texas, as we were for Gatecrash pre-release.
Sadly, we're not in Texas.
But the weather is nearly as nice as it was then as it is now.
That's true. But remember, that was 4 months ago.
That's true. We are in Minnesota this time at our old standby, our favorite store, Meat Hall, for Dragon Space pre-release. There's people starting to file in. We didn't do midnight. It's the 11 o'clock a.m. Saturday pre-release.
Because... Thank goodness it's not midnight.
It's not midnight. It's not going to be 5:30 in the morning when I interview you again.
Yes. If you guys are wondering, hey, why didn't they go to the midnight pre-release? Why don't you go listen to our recording from the midnight pre-release? And then I think you'll understand. Mm-hmm.
It's a show called The Texas 2 Drop. It's entertaining. I'm looking at the wall now. I see the big Dragon's Maze on the wall right now.
Yes, to be fair, is it a maze if you always know where to go? It looks like a path. I'm just going to say this straight up.
It does look like a path.
It looks like a path.
And I see the guilds, and they're kind of like, oh, and you get a pin. You get a guild pin. I'm excited for my pin.
Aw, you get a guild pin.
Megan has not registered for this pre-release event, and is instead hoping that somebody has died in a horrible accident so that she can play.
Let's be more clear. I hope that someone's really tired.
Oh, sure, sure. Grant, come here. I love your shirt. Yeah. 2 hearts of a Time Lord. Did you play last night, Grant?
I did.
did. Yes.
Okay. How did it? Tell me how it went.
It's pretty good. Ended up going straight Boros.
You were the straight Boros that David was talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. How was your record?
2-1. Lost to a really good deck, so.
Why did you go straight Boros? What the heck?
Those were the cards I had. I didn't really want to. Multicolor looked more fun.
But you took it, you bent over and you took it from Boros. Hi, welcome.
Yes.
So you played last night.
I did.
At midnight.
Yes.
What was it like? Tell us everything.
It was really fun because like everybody was just there to hang out, and so like we were there since FNM, the end of FNM.
Oh my god.
So we got to like chill, and I played EDH with my buddies. It was pretty good. And then the actual pre-release was pretty fun, but my deck wasn't super hot.
So What was it?
It was 5-color bomb deck.
Nice.
Yes, I splashed for Taysa, Orza, the champion.
Yes.
And then also Mercurial Chemister, which I pulled from my Izzet pack, and Savage Born Hydra, which won me approximately all of the games that I won out of the not ones that I did win.
That card is insanity.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot of fun, and I'm probably going to try and use it somewhere else eventually, like in a constructed format.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Just beat down.
Yes,
like
right?
A beat down card.
It's like, are you out of chump blockers yet?
Is everyone dead?
What guild are you going today?
I am representing Rakdos today.
As am I. Rakdos sisters.
Yes.
So do you belong to a demon cult in real life too?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
good.
Yes, we meet on Sunday nights.
Okay.
At the coffee shop on Washington.
Sure.
And if you come, we have scones.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yes.
This is why Rakdos is great, Megan. I don't know what you're doing hanging out with those fucking centaurs.
You guys, I'm just saying, Celestnia is just like a bunch of hippies. Just a bunch of hippies.
And you guys meet in a Unitarian church.
Yes, exactly. But only because we can't find another space, and that one's really holistic. It feels really spiritual and nice in there.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Well, good luck to you today.
Thank you.
Wait, Ben just walked in. He did. Of course he just woke up.
Of course he just woke up.
Ben, all Ben does, he's either playing magic, eating a piece of meat, or sleeping.
That's really true, you guys. That's funny because it's really true.
Yeah. Fast forward through time. Here we are on day 2 of the pre-release. We've just played for our second pre-release.
Yes.
And I don't know, how did you feel about this one, Megan?
You know, I felt like I had better cards. Felt like my deck was overall a little bit better than yesterday. But I still had some mana issues.
Amen. I think we're all feeling that.
Yeah. So, what about you?
I also thought my deck was worse today than, I mean, differently than you. I thought it was worse today than yesterday. Ran Rakdos yesterday, went very well with it. Today, ran Simic. I thought it's very mediocre.
Yep.
And you were Celestnia today and Azorius yesterday.
That's true. And the trouble that I had with this Celestnia deck was that it didn't really have a lot of token makers. So I had a bunch of populate cards, but I had one token maker card. So that was a little bit problematic.
I think that is kind of going to be an issue because I felt the same thing with Simic. I had some alright cards, but no evolve, right? And so it's going to be harder to hang on to those things, I think. Hello, sir.
Say hi.
You want to say hi on our show?
All right.
Yeah, we do.
Hello.
Hi. What's your name, sir?
Charlie.
Oh, Charlie. How many pre-release events have you played in this weekend?
This is my third.
Ooh. We've only played two. Okay, tell me, how'd it go?
4-0-1, and then 3-0-1, and then 2-2.
Oh, nice.
Wow, look at you go. Which one did you 4-0?
The one yesterday.
What did you run?
It was just the Esper deck. I've had 2 Espers in a row, so.
We need to learn the names for 3 colors.
It took me like 6 months to figure it out.
Tell us what Esper is.
Esper is white, black, and blue.
Oh, like a bruise that's on a white person.
Yeah, that's okay. What I think of when I think of those 3 colors.
Tell me, what have you noticed? What have you learned about Dragon's Maze over the weekend?
I don't know yet. I haven't really looked at the spoilers very much. I've just been playing to play. So, but I like a lot of the multicolored cards so far. So,
for someone who's playing to play, you are doing exceedingly well.
Yes, yes. 4-0, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I have to say, I always play to win, and that has not served me particularly well at all today. So, high five. All right.
Yeah.
Ooh, I got the audio. Thank you, sir. Megan, say cards of the week.
Cards of the week!
Sweet.
That was really bad.
And they're gonna be new cards, dudes.
Woo! New cards of the week.
Yay.
Alright, let's see some new cards of the week. Maria, what have you got?
Well, as I mentioned, I played Rakdos, and sure enough, I got two great bombs. And of course, bombs are gonna be good generally, right?
Yeah.
But I just feel the need to mention them because I do think Ixava Rakdos Blood Witch is probably one of the best maze runners that you can get. 3-3 for two colorless, a black and a red. First strike in haste with unleash. Unleash.
Get those leeches.
There's a leech.
There's a leech, it's gone.
Return target leech to its owner's hand.
Create a card. All right.
Gross.
And unleash. And each other creature I control with a 1/1 leech on it has haste. Okay, is that how you spell it? No.
Yeah.
There it is.
Okay.
And she's great because she's at the 4-drop slot. And also, I had another bomb 4-drop, Desecration Demon, and this is not from Dragon's Maze, but I had never actually played with it before. That's the 6/6 flyer, and if my opponent wants to at the beginning of each combat, they can sack a creature and put a 1/1 counter on my demon and tap it. Yeah, this card is just totally nuts as well.
It's a 6/6 flyer for 4 mana. What?
It's pretty gross. I did play it against a Boros deck, which I think it is worst against because she could just play little cheap guys and keep sacking them.
Yeah.
But she still died, so.
Yeah, that, hey. I mean.
What you really just need is you need to remove that guy.
Yeah.
He needs to be taken away.
The worst way he died was against a Celestia deck. And it was, what the heck is that card? It's green for like 3, and it's destroy target creature with flying.
Aerial Predation.
Yes.
Yep.
I was like,
beautiful.
Completely forgot That's about that card, beautiful. And he aerial predated it.
I got wrecked by that card. Ugh. I mean, I was losing anyway, but I was looking at my hand, and I had the 3/1 first strike flyer and a 4/5 Rust Scarab, and I'm like, which one of these should I play to block all those centaur tokens? And I was like, well, I should play the 3/1 flyer because he can block and then next turn he can attack and I can play the other guy to block. Man, open mana, end of turn, dead.
Yep.
Oh.
It just sucks.
He had it in his main deck, you guys.
I would have loved to play a little Agoraphobia on your Desecration Demon.
Oh yeah.
That would have been a good time. -5/-0. Sure, you still got a 1/6 flyer out there. But it's not a 6/6 flyer. That's what I care about.
That would suck a lot too. But man, that stupid little aerial predation. Completely forgot about it. Boom. Kill your dude. I was just crushed.
Could have also Celestia charmed it? Doesn't that kill big stuff?
I don't remember.
Isn't it destroy a creature with 4 or greater? Or give something +3/+3 or...
I don't know. We might have to.
2/2 token?
We might have to look this up.
Yeah, geez. Memory lane.
Woo. Yeah. Woo. Celestia.
Some of these cards need to put on name tags, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. Hey, did I have English class with you? I don't remember.
Did we ride the bus together?
Oh, we might have.
Did we once take a shower in gym class together?
Oh, God.
Show me your dog.
I remember the shower, but your face isn't familiar.
I may forget a name, but I never forget a face.
Megan?
Yeah?
What's your card of the week?
My card of the week is the...
You gonna say card of the fucking week?
My card of the fucking week.
No, no. My card of the week is the Chillin' Sphinx. I don't think you say it chillin'. But it's J-E-L-E-N-N.
He is chillin'. Look at him, though.
Which is close enough to chillin'.
He's just sitting on that rock like having
a tan. Exactly. This guy is a total... He's a pretty total awesome babe. Dude. He's a total babe. I'd tap that. But you don't have to because he has vigilance.
Oh, snap. Caster mage. Oh my God. Oh, I'm so proud of that. Oh, okay.
All right. Wow.
What is this?
Anyways, he's a 1/5 flyer with vigilance. He costs 3 colorless, 1 white and 1 blue. And whenever he attacks, other attacking creatures get +1/+1 until end of turn. He was a totally sweet card to play with because I felt like it was so easy to get that +1/+1 on there.
Yeah.
Because he's a 1/5, so you're not worried about someone killing him, probably.
Right.
He's got vigilance, so you don't have to worry about holding him back if you need something to block. And then if he's attacking...
And he's got flying.
He's got flying, that's right, thank you. And then he gives all your other creatures +1/+1.
I believe you played this card against me, Megan.
I believe I did.
And you smashed me with it.
It's pretty amazing, guys. I was really happy about that dude. Another card that I very much liked, but did not get to play a whole bunch. Where did it go? Here it is.
Taysa,
Envoy of Ghosts. She costs 7. She's 5 colorless, 1 white, and 1 black. She has vigilance, protection from creatures. Did I say she was a 4/4? I'll say it again. She's a 4/4. And, whenever a creature deals combat damage to you, you can destroy that creature and put a 1/1 spirit token with flying onto the battlefield.
Megan, you also played this card against me and smashed me with it. Stop. That's right. Stop it.
It was a really fun time. It was a good time.
My Simic deck was not great.
Oh, where
have you been? Tell us about it. Let's have some bad deck therapy.
Well, it doesn't.
Do you have no card of the week because of it?
My cards were all for my Rakdos deck, which I love that deck. My Simic deck couldn't, you know, just suck my deck. You know what I mean?
A pile of bones.
Yeah. I hear ya.
That sucks. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Thank you.
Ben, you want to tell us a little bit about your card of the week? Do you have one?
There's 3 cards I'd like to mention. One is Master of Cruelties.
That's right.
Watch out for that card. It just like straight up won me 2 games, 3 games.
So
like, just from 20-1 in one swing.
I have a feeling that it might be a sort of good strategy, more so now than it was before, to hang on to your removal.
Well, that's always a good strategy.
I know. Okay, that's something that I'm kind of guilty of, is using my removal too early.
Well, okay, that's okay because you play aggressive decks, and in aggressive decks, you can basically look at the board and say, "Oh, if I use this removal spell now, how much damage do I get?" And that's fine, because as long as you keep doing that, then you're gonna win. But if your deck can't do that, then you have to shift the way you're thinking and you have to think, okay, I can kill that creature with this removal spell, but is there another way that I can deal with that creature instead? Can I just block that creature forever? Or can I trade with one of my creatures? Or can I play a creature so big they're not going to want to attack into it? In that case, you might be better off either playing that other card or waiting until you draw that card. Because there's probably going to be cards that you can't deal with except for that removal spell. So
yeah,
it's all just like, what's your plan? How fast is your deck going to go? Like, how long do you need to stay alive? That kind of thing. But yeah, if the format's slowing down, then absolutely it becomes more important to hold on to that removal, use it wisely and judiciously, which brings up one of my other cards of the week.
Yes.
Whose name I do not fucking remember. But it is a Nazorius card. It's a 3/2 flyer with hexproof.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that card wrecked me. I'm going to call it Azorius Griffin Lawyer Hider.
Wait, Lawyer Hider?
Yeah.
Why?
It's like Azorius Lawkeeper or something like that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
He's like, he can't be touched because he knows the law.
I understand now.
And he's literally above you, not just because he has a law degree.
Yep, I understand.
And then the other card that I thought was pretty sweet was Alive and Well.
Uh-huh.
That's a split card. It can either make a token, a 3/3 centaur token for 4, or for 1 white mana, you can gain 2 life for each creature you have. Or...
Both.
He's kind of like, he's kind of like a build-your-own centaur healer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can get those at IKEA now.
That's so cute.
Never can figure out how to put those together.
Yeah, that's so hard.
That's the problem.
You put it together and you're like, I still have this extra torso. Where is this supposed to go?
I swear to God, the hoof should not go here. It's like a little uneven.
It's a little unstable. You guys, I still have like 3 screws left. Uh-oh. Everything is put together and I still have these 3 screws. I don't...
And you sleep on that centaur every night?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's going to collapse under me.
Yeah.
Probably.
Anytime.
It's a fire hazard.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, they just give you little pictograms. You can't follow those.
Right. The language barrier.
That's true.
You don't speak enough Celestian.
No. I have to say, speaking of split cards, the most painful defeat that I had all weekend was to the split card that target player draws 2 cards and loses 2 life is one side. And then the other side is target player loses life equal to the number of cards that they have in their hand.
Oh.
And I was having trouble anyways. I was a little mana screwed. So I only had, I think, 2 or 3 mana out on the table and a bunch of stuff in my hand that I couldn't play. They played that on me. I ended up with like 9 cards in my hand and lost 9 life. Plus the other 2.
Ouch.
It was, you guys, it was
ugly.
But
you probably drew the land you needed, right?
I'm sure that I did. But I couldn't see it through the cloud of anger and tears.
I had a pretty rough, this was a 2-headed giant game. So those games were all nut bones. But the opponent played Call, which is half of Beck and Call, which is one of the rare split cards.
Mm-hmm.
It puts 4/1/1 bird tokens into play.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, whatever. Okay, that's fine. And then on his next turn, he plays Collective Blessing.
Oh!
And he gave all of his creatures +3/+3.
Look at all these 4/4 birds!
It was, it was hard.
Those birds are juicing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
Can I talk about a painful loss I had?
Go for it.
It's when my grandma died.
Oh. Just, okay, that's horrible.
Okay. What it was...
Wait, was it a removal spell, or did she trade with a creature?
Trade. It was a trade.
Oh, okay.
Wow. It was fair.
Yeah, yep. That's fair.
Yeah.
At least you got something to work.
Yeah. It was, okay, so I was playing in the finals, I'm doing air quotes, finals match of the first pre-release, you guys.
Okay, yep. Whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
You beat me, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay. I did beat Ben in the first game. And I was super, like, I guess I was kind of nervous about it because it was like, I wanted to do well and I had been doing well and I thought I put together a pretty good deck and everything. Mana screwed.
Did you keep a bad hand?
You know, I don't think that I did. I mulled to 5 my first game.
Ooh.
So that hurt.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's rough. But, no.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell. It can be hard to tell what kind of hands to keep, right?
Yep.
I mulled to 5 and I kept a 5 lander because...
You're just like...
Because, like, 1, not going to go to 4,
yeah,
right? And
yeah.
2... It had all my colors, so I'm like, well...
Anything that comes up?
I can at least cast
How
any
did
spells.
That go for you, then?
It went... I had reasonable plays, but then he played... he just played absurd cards, and there was no way I could have won anyway. He played the Gruul War Chant.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Made it very hard to block his things. And then he played what's the name of it? It's a Boros card. It's a 7-drop, and it's a 5/5. And at the beginning of every combat, yes, he gets to choose up to one target creature that must attack or block, and up to one target creature that cannot attack or block.
You were talking about the Boros Battle Shaper.
Yeah, he...
He shaped that battle for you.
With that card out and with Gruul Warchant, it's like, oh, so I never...
He's like playing himself, essentially, at that point. He gets to pick everything.
Yeah, he's like, okay, you attack with that, then I attack with that. And I'm like, it's like playing hide-and-go-seek with the five-year-old.
That's a lot of responsibility when you play Boros Battle Shaper.
To make the right choices.
You need to say...
Yeah, you have to pick who lives and who dies.
Who's going
to
die.
Mm-hmm. Right?
You are holding...
Everyone's lives in your hands.
Can you handle that weight on your shoulders?
Probably not.
Thank you for your honesty.
For the noobs!
Hey, where are my new players at?
Woot woot!
So guys, mana fixing.
They're on a train.
What?
That was a train.
Why are they on a train? Are they being...
Are they being
relocated by their new employer?
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Nope. They wanted an alternative lifestyle. They're all like
train
of
hoppers.
That age.
Are they boxcar children?
Some of them are riding in sleeper compartments, and there's going to be a murder?
Maybe.
Ooh.
It's my kind of train.
Yeah. All right. So mana fixing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
This is not to be confused with fixing your pets.
Okay.
FYI.
It's also
fixing your man.
Because you can't do it, ladies.
Nope.
So true. Just... You can't fix me. Only I can fix me.
And even that's probably not true.
No.
You guys don't think I can fix myself?
We've learned some hard lessons over the years.
Ben, you can always try. I don't want to take that away from you.
I'm the only person I know who's qualified to repair my own robotic heart.
Are you Iron Man?
No, I'm the... Who's the big iron giant? I'm that guy.
The iron giant?
Yeah, the big friendly iron giant. That's
so you're Russian?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm of Russian construction.
I understand. Aren't we all really just Russian constructions?
What does that mean?
Do you like Russian leaders?
I love Russian leaders.
Who's your favorite?
Oh, God. Putin.
Nice. I've been to Boris Yeltsin's grave. That's all.
Show off.
You guys, I Googled Putin without a shirt on the other day.
And?
There's a lot of pictures.
And were the results good?
Well, it depends on what you mean by good. Anyway, mana fixing.
Okay, right, so do you guys want to talk about your experiences with mana fixing in the pre-release this weekend? Or do you want to talk about how are you going to get your shit together when you're drafting this stuff for real?
I'm going to... I just am having a
hard
time.
Let's go a little bit about both. Okay. Because I played more Gates this weekend than I've played like in the entire rest of my Ravnica and Gatecrash playing history.
Well, something interesting was that every sealed pool had exactly 6 gates.
Yes.
Because the guild packs had exactly 1 gate, and all the Dragon's Maze packs have exactly 1 gate. I guess I'm lying. That's not true. Because some of the guild packs could, or some of the Dragon's Maze packs could have a rare land, the Shockland or Maze's End.
I had some major anxiety. Where is my people with major anxiety at?
Yes.
About mana fixing.
Yeah.
I had just a lot of trouble figuring out, should I count clue stones, as land or as a card slot?
Good question about keystones that I've always had.
Key runes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Same for the key runes are different. Right. And what do you count them as?
All right. So I got some thoughts.
Okay, lay it on us.
Thought number one, I think the clue stones are better than the key runes.
Okay.
I think I agree with you. Yeah.
That's my first guess. When I had a choice, I'd just play the clue stone every time, and I definitely cracked myself a lot of clue stones over this weekend, just like looking for more cards.
Yep.
And even, oh man, one time, what did I do? Oh, I cracked a clue stone. Someone was going to remove my guy, and I was like, oh, well, he's going to kill my guy. I might as well, I don't have anything to play, but I might as well draw a card with my clue stone. So I did, and guess what I drew? Deputy of Acquisitions.
Nice.
2/2 with flash. Gets to return a creature to my hand. I saved that creature.
Wow.
I know. So, guys, if you don't have it plans, crack open that clue stone and see what clues are inside.
If you're alone on a Friday night, crack open that clue stone.
So, okay. So I think the biggest open question is in this set will be when you're drafting, if you plan to draft, is how do you decide when you take a card versus taking a gate or a mana fixer?
Yeah, right.
And that is a hard question, but I think what you're going to want to do is basically say to yourself, okay, is this card more powerful than the average for a gate crash or a Return to Ravnica card? If so, you should take the powerful card. If not, you should take fixing, because the more fixing you have, the more opportunities you are going to have to take powerful cards in the later packs. You also have to decide pretty early what kind of deck you're going to make. Are you going to make a focused, aggressive Rakdos deck? Or are you going to get a bunch of cards, a bunch of powerful cards, put them all together, and just hope your mana works? And there's a trade-off there, right? If you play a lot of colors, stuff can go wrong.
Yeah.
But when stuff goes right, oh man, it goes right.
It's like a bachelor party.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Things could go wrong.
Real quick.
But you could also meet the love of your life.
Her name's Candy.
Yep.
Maybe you stop yourself from making a horrible mistake.
So.
I think when you look at... when you look at a sealed pool, and if you guys play sealed, normal sealed, maybe you'll see this. The fixing kind of lets you play around with your risk versus reward. Marshall Sutcliffe wrote a column about this on dailymtg.com, which I thought was pretty good. But the basic idea is, if you're going to mess up your mana base, you better have a good reason. Better have some really powerful cards, cards that have to be answered, cards that can help you win the game on their own. And if you don't have cards like that, then you probably just want to stick to two colors or maybe two colors and a splash and just try to make the most consistent deck possible. Because that way, I mean, you're just you're hoping that your opponent doesn't do ridiculous things or that you execute your plan before the games go on too long or before your opponent draws their absurd bombs. So I don't think either way is the right way. I think now that Dragon's Maze is out, there's more room for doing the crazy decks, whereas before it was like the aggro plan every time, especially in Gate Crash.
Yeah.
So now in terms of... how do you figure out exactly what cards to play? It's tough, right? I mean, you guys have been there.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's like a cut of meat that hasn't been tenderized.
Mm.
It's like a thing that I'm supposed to do, but I don't know how.
All right, so a couple tips. One, avoid double color casting cost stuff. And so I'm talking about like Azorius Arrestor costs 2 mana, 2 colorless mana, 2 white mana. That cards like that are going to be much harder to cast if you're running a 3-color deck. Because you're going to be lucky to get one of each color.
Stolen Identity.
Yeah, stuff like that. And the cheaper the card is, the harder that double casting cost is. So, for example, Soul Knight Entity is not as bad because it's a 6-mana card with 2 blue, whereas Azorius Arrester is a 4-mana card with 2 white. Or like the Precinct Captain,
yep.
He was like a
2-drop
for 2 white mana. He's like the worst, right? Because you have to draw...
two planes.
You want to like start with 2 planes or a gate and a planes. So cards like that get worse, and it's almost harder to cast. It is actually harder to cast cards like that than cards that are 2 different colors. All right, so that's item number 1.
Hold on, the janitor's writing it on our chalkboard.
You
look like Matt Damon.
Item number 2.
Leave that equation alone. You don't know what you're doing.
Go ahead.
Item number 2. This counts, by the way, this counts for 1-drops as well. Uh-huh. Because 1-drops are almost always best on what turn?
The first one.
Right. And if you're playing a gate, you know, maybe they're not so bad on the second turn. But who knows, right? So keep that in mind. And when you're figuring out, okay, what are my lands going to look like? One trick is to count up all the mana symbols, and that kind of you figure out your ratio based on that. And that's good. That'll get you like 80% of the way there. But once you, like, the next level is to start thinking about, when do I need to play these cards? If all of your 1 and 2 drops are white cards, then you probably need more planes just because you want to play these cards early game. So if you do have, if you've got the double white or you've got a white 1-drop, then you have to look and figure out how good is this card late game. And if your mana can't support playing it early game, then maybe you don't want to play it at all. And that brings me to my next point, which is a splash of a color versus just like straight 3 colors.
Right, because that's going to be more common now. And that's when I found myself contemplating doing straight 3 colors. Like, I tried to just do 2 with a splash, and I think with my Rakdos I had a big advantage because of that. But I found myself thinking I was completely unsure of how to make my mana work with 3 colors straight.
Well, how comfortable do you guys feel just splashing?
I actually feel fine splashing.
Okay. Like, you know, say you splash for 2 cards, maybe you need 3 sources.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's an easy thing to remember.
Right, right. So you can splash a little more now, and because there's more fixing, the splashes get a little bit more free, right? If you want to put in like 4 or 5 cards, then maybe you need 4 or 5 sources. And you get to count, you know, if you have any guild gates in there or shock lands, you get to count those just as 2 sources basically for free, assuming you're not trying to be super aggressive. So then it comes into question, well, how about these clue stones, key rune type things? How does that work? Well, I think they're definitely worse than the gates, both because you have to spend mana for them, and then also because you don't get any of the bonuses that the gates give you with certain cards that, you know, just work better if you have a gate in play, like the Gatekeepers or the Ogre Jailbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're bad. They're just worse. So don't play them unless you like need to, or if you have a bunch of expensive stuff anyway and you know you want to be ramping into that stuff. They're also bad fixing for those cheap cards that we were talking about earlier. So if you have an aggressive deck, you probably just don't want to use those 3-mana artifacts to fix your mana. And if you have cheap cards like Precinct Captain or something like that, that's probably not going to help you either.
Yeah.
So that's my thought on that. I do think, like, I think Prophetic Prism was already a really good card, and I think it's a lot better now. I had that card out in one of my pools, and it was just like, hey man, no problem.
Yeah.
You put that card out, you do whatever you want. And also, like, I had him out, and I had the Tower Drake, 2/1 flyer, and you can give them plus zero, plus one for white mana.
Yep.
And I had like three white mana and a guild gate. And my opponent attacks, and I'm like, I'll block and pump it four times. He's like, what? I didn't know you. And then while I wasn't looking, I stole a bag of candy from his pantry.
Wow. Interesting.
I thought you were going to say from his pants pocket.
Yep, I also thought you were going for pants.
Because.
Just
no,
pants.
From his pantry. The tree that he keeps paying his pants on.
Oh.
That's right.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
So does that help answer your questions about mana fixing? Or are you still worried about making the specific number decision, the right number decision?
I think I'll always be worried about it, but when you mentioned if you have, like, say, four or five colors of a certain color, cards of a certain color, and you might just have four or five sources, that makes me feel a little better, because sometimes when you just have one, you need two, and yeah. I don't know.
There's kind of two ends of the spectrum. There's, like, on one end of the spectrum, you have your splash. You're splashing one card. And so ideally you want two sources for that card, right?
Okay.
And the basic probability there is that if you, like, you're going to draw those cards in a certain order. And so you've got a 2 in 3 chance of drawing one of your sources before you draw the card. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, you have, like, another small chance to, like, draw it soon afterwards.
Yeah.
Then on the other end of the spectrum, it's you're just, like, you're straight in this color. And usually in that case, you want, like, 7 sources of that. And then, like, also on that end of the spectrum is, like, this is your main color. More than half of your cards need this color. So at that point, you want, ideally, 10 sources. Right?
Okay.
So that's ideal. And you don't always get that. When I'm looking at building a mana pool, based on the deck I'm making, sometimes I have to cut corners. Right? And so where do you cut corners? Well, that, you know, what was 7, you know, maybe now I'm okay with just having 6. You know, like, even though I've got one card with a double color requirement, I'm okay with, and I'll just run 6 and I have to get lucky. Or, you know, maybe instead of the 10 sources from my main color, I'm okay with having 9 or 8. Or maybe I don't have a main color per se. I've got like 2 mainish colors that I want 7 each, and then a splash that I want 2 or 3 of, maybe 4.
Would you cone a gate in one of those 2 or 3 cards?
What do you mean? As a source?
Yes.
Yeah, the gates basically just count as 2 sources.
Okay.
So, like, you normally would only run 17 or 18 lands. But if you have a gate, then you can basically count that as a source for both of them. And so, in that way, you can, like, even though I want like 10 of this one thing and 7 of another and then 2 of another, that adds up to more than 17. But if I have the gates, I get to double count. So it's like if you adopt twins from Asia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You did.
Right, I did.
But they were women and they were full grown.
It was an interesting day when they came to live at Ben's house.
It was. You know, fair play to you.
Yeah, I mean,
yep.
Loophole. I think that basic idea of, okay, given that I have these cards need these other cards to be good, right? Like, that concept comes up so often when you're deck building and when you're doing limited decks, that figuring out how you're going to get comfortable with that is really important. And it's more than just mana stuff, right? You think about it when you build a populate deck, right? You're thinking about, okay, I've got 5 cards that make tokens and I've got 2 cards that populate. And that feels like that's pretty good, right? Because, you know, like, most of the time, you're going to draw one of those creature token cards first, and you'll at least have a chance to populate. That's, like, it's basically, like, those populate cards have, like, require token mana. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Nice way to put it. Oh.
And then, in a similar way, those, the gatekeeper cards, mm-hmm. it's like they each require 2 gate mana. But maybe not 2, maybe just 1, because those, like, they're not as good if you don't have 2 gates, but it's not just stuck in your hand either. But that's something to think about if you have, you know, if you have like 3 of those cards in your deck and you're thinking, how many gates do I want to run for that?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so that's like, that's something that I, if I were you guys, I'm trying to get comfortable with. And then in terms of ramping, you want to look at like, okay, if this is a 3 mana card, you want to look at, okay, do I have a lot of 5 drops, 6 and 7 drops? Specifically because the best draws with those key runes or the clue stones is you're going to go land, clue stone, and then your next turn you're going to play another land, and now you get to play a 5 drop on turn 4. And if you could do that, like, sometimes you just win the game.
Especially if it's Master of Cruelties.
When you play Master of Cruelties, you have to say, Master of Cruelties.
Hello. May I introduce you to the Master
of Cruelties? Oh my god, him and Ixava are totes roommates.
Yeah, they are.
So, and this is actually, this is how I would, like, figure out when I'm putting together Simic decks, for example. It's like, okay, I've got some, like, I have evolve cards, and then I have enablers, cards that make the evolve cards good.
Do drugs.
Exactly. And I think this is kind of like, it's a Boros thing too, where you're like, okay, I've got cards that that have battalion and cards that enable battalion. And then some of the cards that enable battalion are creatures, like the 2/1 that doesn't ever take damage when he's attacking. Like that card's, or Sky Knight Legionnaire. Those cards are both great at enabling battalion, but so is Boros Charm or Martial Glory, right?
Right.
And so you want to make sure that you have a critical mass of both. And if you're missing one of those elements, then you want to recognize that the other cards, you know, either the cards that get enabled or the enablers get worse because they don't have, it's like if you're trying to start a fire in the vacuum of space.
You can't.
It's all gas, no air.
No air.
Yeah. So I'd love to give you like a simple guide that just says, this is the right number. But really it's about looking at your deck as a whole and figuring out, okay, what are all the synergies that I need to take care of? What's the most important synergy? Do I need to pull an entire synergy out just to make other synergies better? Or can I have everything? Or do I need everything and I just need to get lucky? Because that's fair too. Like maybe your pool just sucks butts and you just need to get lucky to win. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there is something wrong with that. But sometimes, where you find yourself.
Yeah, that's just how it happens.
Okay, so does that shift your paradigm? Are your minds not blown?
My mind is perhaps not blown, but enriched.
It is okay. Enraged.
like Borborygmos?
Borborygmos.
Borborygmos.
Euphemism of the week.
Yeah. It's been a while. Megan, lay it on us.
All right. I was feeling pretty good about this brainwave that I had the other day. I called it that. Shut up.
Anyways. No, the brain is the largest sex organ.
Oh my god.
Other than the skin.
I was gonna say, what about the skin? Oh.
All right. I love shaking hands with other people's sex organs.
Megan, is this
are you gonna shake hands with my brain?
That's what happens when you meet someone and there's a connection. Brain shake.
Brain yep. geyser.
Or a contact between sex organs. All right. Moving on.
What's your euphemism?
So angelic edict. And angelic edict is when you're in it's at the beginning of a potential relationship with someone.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But then that person tells you that they don't believe in sex before marriage, thereby removing the possibility of a relationship.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great one. Use that, everybody.
Thank you. Here, I'll give you a little bit of, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
So, you've been seeing that girl for like a month now. You tapped that yet?
No.
No, why not?
Because she says she's not going to do before marriage.
Oh, man. She put an angelic edict on that.
Tell me about it.
The end.
Finn.
So there you go, guys. Go forth. Use it. Hopefully not too much. I wouldn't wish that upon you.
Mm, sounds like angels are great blockers.
Oh, snap! Can we make a card called Cock Block and it blocks like the male characters only?
Yes. Cock Block, remove any male planeswalker from the battlefield.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yep.
So that we'll put that in our create a card. Yeah. Cock Block, everybody. Write that down. All right, so iTunes reviews. Thanks, everybody, who's left us a review on iTunes. You can look us up on there and subscribe to our podcast. It's super great. And we have a new person who submitted a review. If you submit a review, we'll do a pun on your username. This person's review was particularly great. It was one sentence long, and I'll read it. I love listening to cute/funny girls talk about magic.
You know, Maria, I really enjoy being slash. As well as being cute and funny.
Though, to be fair, how does he know?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you how you can find out, listener. If you want to find out if Megan and I are in fact cute slash, you can follow us on Twitter at MTAcast or check out our website at magicTheAmaturing.com because we do have a few pictures of us.
That's true. They're up there.
Also, be sure to mention what you like about me.
Poor Ben.
Because Ben's real sad. He's real sad.
Well, thank you for that review. That was a draconic 367.
Yeah.
That review was not draconian.
Draconic, you're so cool that you get 2 extra days in your year.
Oh, I get
it! Oh, snap! Draconic, you're like Draco, but at the very end of the series, when we didn't hate him.
Draconic, you won't have to wear a conic hat when you're in school.
Because you're not a dunce.
You can expect that kind of pomp and circumstance if you leave us an iTunes review. Anyway, that's our show, peeps. Thanks for listening. It was great.
Yeah, guys.
I feel like I learned a lot this episode.
Woo!
My brain grew 2 sizes that day.
Ooh. And my grain brew 2 sizes that day.
And my brew gained 2 grises.
Comedy gold. Like I said just a few seconds ago, follow us on Twitter, message us on Magic the Gathering Online. I'm horny_unicorny, and I'll put you in the Magic the Amateuring clan. Gladly.
Yep.
You can message Ben at middle schooler if you just want to chat, because his clan has been killed with fire.
Word, bros.
So, see you later.
Bye, guys.
Chat us up. Bye. For me, if you still